Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about Paul, the man of God, and his incredible connection with God's story.
Yeah, thanks, Bernadette. It's a lot of fun when you think about Paul because, it's a broad subject because he had quite an amazing life.
Well, you know, yesterday we talked about Peter in terms of how he was had this life that was started out pretty erratic. He was full of bravado, and then after Christ ascended, he was so solid. Paul's life is different in the sense that we see what he was like, how against God he was, how against Jesus he was, and then how he comes full swing in a matter of moments to such cemented faith.
Well, I like to call Paul's life when a life is turned upside down and inside out, because you know, he started out by his own admission as a zealot and a murderer. He was a zealot for the Jewish faith, which was not accepting of Jesus as the Messiah. So he was a murderer of Jesus's followers. And that is really quite a turnaround.
How frightening it would be to be a Christian in that time, knowing that he was out to imprison you, to take you away from your kids. And also, he was totally involved with the people who were doing it at some point, you know, with the Stephen, when they stoned Stephen, the witnesses and ringleaders of that, they actually took off their cloaks or whatever it was that they took off and laid him at the young man's feet. And the guy's name was Saul.
Yeah.
So he was like in it up to his neck in this persecution of Christians.
Well, and then he has that dramatic encounter on the road to Damascus. And in the wake of that, his reputation preceded him. You know, that guy Ananias that was supposed to lead him on into town. I mean, it was freaky because here, this is the guy that they knew. It was a tight community. They understood who Saul was, who would become Paul, and
right.
he was a scary character.
Yeah, now he was going to come in and maybe be kind to them. Like, who would believe that? I mean, think about in your own life when somebody makes a big change like that. It takes a little bit to trust them. And just that he was on this road, met Jesus, and was blinded. That's why he had to be led back in.
Dramatic. And can you imagine being that kind of a self-starter, which he obviously was. And then all of a sudden to have the inability to even see, and then to be processing that idea of who it was that you were persecuting. It's me. Mm-hmm. It's Jesus whom you are persecuting. That's who's talking to you in your blind condition. I mean, think about the things that went through Paul's mind.
I honestly can't imagine, although I was blind, but just his experience seems different than mine.
Well, and you know, that began his story, but it was, there were a lot of different steps to it. One of which was he spent quite a bit of time in the wilderness, and apparently he had visions of God during that time frame. Maybe it had something to do with being blinded and then getting his sight back or whatever, but you know, God just basically spent some time talking directly to Paul. He never questioned it, and he always saw its consistency with everything he knew from the Old Testament. That had to be a mind blower too.
It had to actually understand what he had learned in the Old Testament in all his, you know, school days and learning, and just the whole idea of seeing these visions, just how it must have cemented him in his onward motion.
His resolve.
His resolve. Wow.
That kind of leads to his rigorous journeys. And, you know, there are a lot of the letters, quite a few of the letters are, you know, in the wake of the journeys that he took. He took four missionary journeys, if you consider the trip to Rome, and then who knows beyond what happened as if he got to Spain, which it appears that he was headed that direction, but we don't know a lot about it.
Well, it's so easy to think about the things that were cool in his life, all the wonderful, marvelous miracles he got to experience. And so those are cool, but the other side of that story is the hardships he had to endure.
Well, and he added that definition to that in 2 Corinthians 11, where he's kind of going through an identity thing because people are saying, well, you're not all you're cracked up to be. There are greater apostles and greater people. And he goes through that list of the challenges that he faced. And he starts out with, are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, not imprisonment, imprisonments, beaten times without number.
That's amazing.
Well, how do you feel when you're reflecting on that and you're trying to integrate that with your faith?
Well, I'll tell you what it does to mine. I know how easily I want to quit. When things get hard, my reaction is, I quit. I've just had it. I quit. And, you know, he didn't get to.
Well, he was cut from tough cloth. And I think that's why he ended up being the kind of servant of Christ that he was, because he was a tough guy. And God took that toughness and bent it to his purposes.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool, really. Beaten times without number. Often in danger of death. Of course, that's, you know, because he didn't have Uber or anything. He had to go there all
by
himself.
He had to run.
5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Now, my understanding about that is that is not a very pleasant experience. And you go through that 5 times. Now, these aren't all recorded in the Bible. This is Paul talking about
himself,
his count.
His experiences.
And it would make sense that he would be keeping track, right? Because it happened to his back.
Well, how could you not? Your emotional memory. I mean, you would just remember that.
5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. I would have quit, by the way, after 2, maybe 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods.
Mm-hmm.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. And being stoned. Once I was stoned.
Yeah. Yeah, and left for dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is, we do have the account of that in the scriptures. So, beaten with rods, from the Jews, 39 lashes, 5 times. Once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked. And I only know about the 1 shipwreck, but apparently it happened 3 times.
And he still kept getting back on the ships.
That's what I'm saying.
One bumpy air ride for me is enough to make me not go on a plane again.
Paul's fiber of who he was as a person, but the nature of his faith, maybe that's what's good about him starting out so far in the hole. Because, you know, you look at a guy like Paul and you figure, you know, if God can work powerfully through somebody like Paul with such a bad background spiritually, because he really had a bad background. Well, and God can work through anybody.
Well, I also just think about his single-mindedness, how often I would want to quit. But also, he had friends that encouraged him not to go places. You know, they'd say, this doesn't feel good. I don't think
bad
you should
idea,
go.
Paul.
Yeah, bad idea. Big danger ahead. He was so single-minded. He knew what God wanted out of him. He just stuck with it.
Well, check this out. At the end of this list, well, it's kind of in the middle of the end. He says, I spent a night and a day in the deep. What in the world does that mean?
Is that like a Jonah story?
Yeah, did he get buried alive? Was he swallowed by a fish? I don't know. He spent a night and a day in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys in danger from rivers.
Floods?
Well, yeah, floods, but I think just the idea of, you know, flooding would happen with rivers. I mean, they didn't really have the control that they had back that they have at this particular point. So there were dangers from rivers because he had to cross rivers because in the areas that he went to, there were rivers everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he didn't get to pick the time that he crossed.
Right.
He'd have to go. Dangers from robbers. You think, what would that have been like to live back in that time? I mean, you know, not everybody had a permit to carry.
Everybody had a permit to carry.
Okay, so there weren't the right kind of weapons, you know, to protect yourself.
They just used stones.
But I mean, robbers. I mean, just every time you went on a trip, on a journey, that would have been one of the big concerns because, you know, in human nature, it's always been that way. There have been people that have been there ready to hold up other people.
Mm-hmm.
Not a stagecoach type of a thing here. Dangers from my countrymen, the Jews. Dangers from the Gentiles, the non-Jews. Dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brothers. I've been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure.
And I love this sentence.
Go ahead and you say it.
Apart from these external things, and it's almost like these are nothing compared to the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. He took huge responsibility for what was going on in the body of believers around him and all over the areas he'd been.
And for me, as a man of God, the example of Paul is so helpful because he was so all in. He was so committed to the purposes of God. He understood the kingdom of God, and he submitted to his king. And from the day that he met Jesus on the road and said, "Who are you?" and he identified himself, Paul didn't look back. He just kept going. And, you know, you put him together with the example of Peter that we talked about, as well as the other people in the scriptures, the men and the women. They all paint a picture of a heart that, when it's turned toward God, really can go anywhere God wants you to go. And the kind of strength that's reflected here in Paul is pretty amazing.
He also is talked about in 1 Timothy. He is writing it, and I love what he says here, too.
Well, this is kind of a culmination of what we've just looked at. We just heard
His list
yeah. of what his life was like, and in the wake of his conversion and meeting Jesus on the Damascus Road. And this is so beautiful out of 1 Timothy 1. "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor." Now, how would you like to carry that through your life? I kind of like to look at myself as, well, you know, I wasn't that bad.
But if I admit it, he's speaking for me.
Oh, absolutely.
He's speaking for me.
Especially when you look on the level of falling short of the glory of God. "Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief." And I'm so grateful for that word in there, because ignorance is such a big part of the human experience. And we do a lot of the things that we do because we just don't know what we are doing. "Ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and the love which are found in Christ Jesus."
It's so good. Just truly, no one is outside the reach of God's grace. And those couple of verses right there, he makes it so clear.
Closes it off here in 1 Timothy 1. "It's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And this is so, this almost makes me cry. "Among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason, I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life."
"Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever.
Amen." I mean, that just completes the picture. He tells his life story, and in that life story, he explains the teaching that his life is. And he identifies himself accurately, even because Timothy was written later in the process. He identifies himself as who he really was, and he recognizes that he is indeed to the praise of God, and he praises God. It appears to his final breath.
And really sees him through all the things that he's gone through, and as he has watched the church grow and knows that Christ loves the church, and then he just sees, he knows who his king is. I love that.
Well, sometimes Paul is perceived as kind of a hard, harsh guy, but he really was very loving, and in the context of what his job was, I think he was perfectly made and fitted for what he ended up doing. And you can kind of see that in the story. So sometimes, you know, culturally, we look at some of his words and think,
he sounds harsh, but it's easy to see that if you're not looking at the full context of his life.
Well, and as far as we know, he wasn't married. So the other...
Maybe he didn't know everything.
Yeah. Well, how can you knock the rough edges off unless you have that partner?
Amen.
If you think about this idea of being a man or woman of God, we've got something extra for you this week. It's at manofgodnexus.com, and it has some free resources if you or someone you know is pursuing a life as a man or woman of God after God's own heart. So you can discuss the idea of choosing to become a man or woman of God at the Man of God Nexus, or manofgodnexus.com.
And if you ever want to communicate with us, if you have a question or a thought, email us at 4@fourthstream.com. It's the number 4@fourthstream.com.
Fourthstream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program or more in its entirety, go to fourthstream.com and click on that radio button.